Well, good morning, everybody. Jesus said that there was one thing that had the potential to affect every one of our relationships and actually every aspect of our life. You could refer to it as the game changer of all game changers. I'd like for us to look at that today. So if you have a Bible, would you take it right now and turn with me to Matthew chapter 22? If you didn't bring a Bible with you, if you grab the Pew Bible, go over to page 1539, you'll be able to find this passage. One of the benefits that we have if we're able to bring a copy of the Bible on our own, or if we've got it on our iPads, etc., would be to be able to mark this passage, you know, highlight it in there, and be able to refer back to it. We can put that one thing next to it in the margin or in the first part of our Bible, and it will be a good reminder. What Jesus said, here's what I want you to stay focused on. Here's what I want to keep bringing you back to. I'm going to pick it up in verse number 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? So Jesus being asked this question. It's not the first time he's being asked this question, but again, he takes the opportunity and leans right back into it. He replies, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets, it is all the scriptures together, hang on these two commandments. So Jesus said, there is that one thing that I want to keep bringing you back to. There is that one thing that I want you to focus on, to do in your life. And here's what it is. It's love God. Now, I want to pause for just a second at this point. Quick observation, just in the context of the passage that we have open in front of us. First thing that's important for us to observe is this. Do you know that it is possible to know the Bible, but not love God? That was the case that we have in front of us. We have a group of people there. They're referred to as Pharisees. Basically, they would be pastors with doctor degrees. They knew the Bible. And then there were individuals by the titling of scribe. A scribe was like a seminary professor with a double doctorate. They knew the Bible, but they didn't love God. Another observation important is this. You can know this truth. You should love God, but still not love God. Every Jewish child, the very first thing that he would be taught from the Old Testament was this one verse. It's actually it's a short passage. It's called the Shema. It was repeated every day by every Jew, once in the morning and once in the evening. And here's what it said. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. Sound familiar? They all knew the truth, but it didn't mean that they loved God. The other thing is, you can be a born-again Christian and not love God. Now, if I were to ask today, whoever loves God in here, or if you love God, I want you to raise your hand. I don't do that, but if I were to say, if you love God, I want you to raise your hand, I'll bet most of hands are going to go up in here, right? I mean, it's church. What else are you going to do? Right? I mean, it's like, yeah. But if I change the question just a little bit to make it this, tell me, how do you love God? Or tell me, how do I love God? I have read dozens of books on this subject that all tell me I should love God, and none of them tell me how. That's frustrating for me. How about for you? I mean, you read that and you feel empty. I mean, I feel like a Patriot football. I feel deflated. Right? I mean, don't want you to go out that way today. So let's go back and let's talk about this. How do we love God? I hope that you will discover that this is encouraging and as helpful as it has been for me and my life. And above all, this is something you can do, and you will know that you can do it. So we'll start with the foundation. The starting point for loving God, it's found in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 19, which says, we love him because he first loved us. Would you read that once with me? We love because he. The reason that we have this responding back, which is what our love for God is, responding back is because we have experienced his love in our life. We find it's a reciprocal thing. The more that I experience God's love in my life, the more love that I have for God. I just want you to think about that for a second. Let that sink in. As I focus on, as I respond to God's love, you know what happens to my love for God? It begins to grow. I love him because I understand he's loving me. I'm experiencing his love. If you get it, say, got it. Get it? Okay, so that's the foundation. I love as I experience his love. So the question, of course, is this, what? How do I experience God's love, right? I mean, that's what we want to lean into. Now, here's where time could work against us, because the list of how we love God continues to grow, and I want you to continue to add to yours, but we're just going to take two. The top two, right off the top, and be able to drill into those so we all can walk out with something that will be very engaged in our lives that way. So let me start with this first one. I experience God's love in my life through his goodness, through his kindness, through his gifts. Did you know that the reason that you came to God was because of his goodness or his kindness in your life and your perception of that? That's what Romans chapter 2, verse number 4 says. James, he is going to open up for us. And interesting, this is the very first book in the New Testament. So the first thing that we get as far as, you know, followers of Jesus, the very first thing written is it brings us back to this. And here's how James is starting out the book. He said in James chapter 1, verse number 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Now, James isn't stuttering here. So let me just do a real quick Bible study with you. We'll kind of go deep and then pop right back up again. When he uses these two phrases, every good gift and every perfect gift, the first time he uses the phrase, every good gift, he's actually using it as a verb. And he's talking now about the act of giving, the action of giving, or the action of receiving that which is given. But it's verb tense, it's here. The next time he goes to perfect, he's now using this as a noun. It's the thing that's given. So whether he's talking about the act of giving and what's coming in your life, these good things that are coming in, or the gift itself that you're focusing on that way, each of those are unique ways, touches of God's love upon us. When he says good and perfect, he's talking about that which aids us in our life. Those are the things that we are glad for, that we would smile over. We would call them blessings in our life. So every blessing that comes in, here's what James is saying. We'll put it in the form of a maxim or this truth that others will just continue to flow from. Either directly or indirectly, James is reminding us, every blessing I enjoy is a fresh touch of God's love upon me. Either directly coming specifically from God, his work in my life that way, or indirectly, him using through people or circumstances or other means, every one of those is a fresh touch of God's love. And he's saying, it's not only the blessing itself is the gift, but Jesus also reminded us the very ability to enjoy the blessing is a touch of God's love in our life as well. Think about that. The more you understand, again, God's love is just going to expand in your own mind and your experiencing of it that way. If you were to take just a little bit of time and to write down every good thing that you can think of that's happened in your life, every time that you've had a reason to smile or laugh, every blessing that you've had, every blessing that you've experienced in your life, think about that book. Think about the size of that book that you would have just by writing down those things in your life that way. And the book's not done. Every day, new material is going on. Pages are being added. Your book's growing. And you know what you call this book? This is touches of God's love in my life. There's another book written in 2011. was written by Anne Voskamp. It's called 1,000 Gifts. It's interesting. Anne talks in the book about how in the midst of a busy life, she discovered the love of God for her and just how specific or personal she began experiencing these touches. She said, a friend of mine challenged me at one point to write down 1,000 things that I was grateful for. Think about that. 1,000 things I was grateful for. And she said if she took that challenge, it took her on this journey that just continues to open up. Now, let's listen to see if God will speak to us through these words that Anne speaks to us as well. Here you go.
She isn't 24 hours old yet. Still that heaven scent upon her skin. When I pull her close and whisper it right into her. Whisper into her the meaning of life. The one thing she needs to know before she's as old as I am and as messed up as much as I have. Moments, I tell her this. Moments, this is all we have. Microscopic, fleeting moments. Her eyelashes flutter in dreams. And I wonder, how many moments of my life have my eyes been wide open, but I've been rushing, racing, sleeping right through? How many of the popsicle days and run and twirl and spin days? How many of the moments of melting ice cream and crazy laughter, dangling bare feet, and the setting sun igniting the wonder of now? Someone, wake me up. To the beating of wings and splashing of water, the setting of fog at twilight, the way the leaves and the childhood slip away in the woods, torched with the last of summer. I want to tell her this. You have got to figure out a way to stay fully awake. Time's blurring by and everyone's slipping past. And how do we wake to the moment? How do we stop living like life is an emergency? Something to be sped wildly through. Life isn't an emergency. How do we start believing that life can be carried only in the hands of the unhurried? A bubble held in awe. How do we stop wolfing life down? Because life is our only dessert. Too brief, too sweet, too delectable to hurry. Live like a boy I once knew. Pause between bites. To wiggle his one loose tooth and whisper, I love you, Mom. And all this, all these moments, all these are for you. Isn't that the voice we have to learn to hear? The voice that is telling the whole world that the earth under you and the rain over you and all the stars spinning all around you. This is for you, for you, for you. Your true love's smile and the nap and a patch of light and the whir of bike spokes and the wild rose on the sill and that one great puff over flickering candles. These are all for you. What if we really figured it out? The gratitude for the seemingly small and insignificant. This is the seed. Plants the giant miracle in the midst of it all. So count the ways he loves, 1,000 more, never stop, so that when you wake in the morning, you can't help unfold your hands to the heavens. And though you grieve, and though you wonder, though the world is ugly, it is beautiful. And though time moves on, its moments are holy. And though the planet spins, a blur, you can slow. And you can wake, and you can trust, and you can pay attention to the moments with this offering of thanks, because this is how you spend your one life well, receiving each moment for what it really is, holy, ordinary, amazing grace, a gift.
How long do you think it'd take you to do 1,000 lists? Might seem overwhelming, like 1,000 things I'm grateful for. But you'll discover this. First 100 goes about that quick. And that's just get the big things out of the way. And it's important to get the big things out of the way, because all of a sudden you're understanding more and more of this current touch of God's love in your life through the small, through the little things. Just walking through my house today, you know, thinking about, you know, the talk that we're going to be doing. I just walked in and it's like, yeah, and I'm so thankful. That's a touch of God's love, and this is a touch of God's love. In fact, if you could reach over right now and just take the hand of the person next to you, you might feel, again, just that there is one more thing. That is a gift. This is something that makes me smile. It's something I'm thankful for. It is a new, fresh touch of God's love that's in my life. And the more that I'm experiencing this, the more I'm in tune with this, all of a sudden now I find myself loving God more and more and more and more. You'll never lack for something current to talk about. If you say to a person, what are you grateful for? And they say, I'm grateful for a lot of stuff. And of course you are. But what one thing right now just kind of pops to the top of that list? And you just write that down. And at the end of this week, you have 7 new things that are on there. And again, that book just continues to grow and grow as you understand this unceasing flow of God's love into your life that he wants you to be in tune with so that you can be experiencing. And that's just one way that we experience God's love. Another way, equally important, equally immense, is that I can experience God's love, Jesus said, through the forgiveness of God in my life. In fact, Jesus phrased it this way. He said, the more I understand God's forgiveness in my life, the more that I love God. In other words, my loving God is reciprocal as understanding his forgiveness in my life. So, in other words, if I feel that I've needed this much forgiveness from God in my life, how much of God's love am I going to be experiencing? Show me. Show me. Everybody, show me. If your hands are in your lap, get them off. Show me. This much, all right? Work with me here. So if I'm experiencing this much of God's love in my life because that's how much forgiveness I perceived I need from him, how much am I loving God right now in my life? Show me. That's right. If I feel this much love for God in my life, how much of God's love am I experiencing? Show me. How much love for God do I have? Show me. All right? Now don't hit the person next to you. If I'm experiencing this much, you know, I feel like I need this much forgiveness from God and I've received it. How much of God's love am I experiencing? Yeah, show me. How much love do I have for God? Now, I know it's some of you are thinking right now, oh, I wish I was a bigger sinner. Right, boy, I wish I needed more forgiveness, right? I mean, that's what some of you are thinking. And I can tell you, no worries. How grateful are you that people around you don't know what you're thinking? How grateful are you that people don't know what's really in your heart? Yeah, oh yeah, it's like, how much forgiveness do I understand that I need? This is what Jesus wants us again to be in touch with. In fact, in Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 50, there's a story within a story. We don't have time to go there right now, but I put that in our handout so that I could tease you to go there to read that later today and realize just how much Jesus leaned into this truth. He's like, experience God's love. As you experience and understand the forgiveness he's bringing to you. A little bit different facet of this. C.S. Lewis said this. He said a lot of things, a lot of good things, but in particular, he said, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Another way that I experience God's love is as I forgive others. And this is fascinating. If I were to ask, which is more difficult, to receive forgiveness from God or to give forgiveness to another, that's an easy one, right? Which is easier? It's easy to receive forgiveness from God, right? That's a beautiful thing. But to give forgiveness to somebody that's done the inexcusable is what? Don't want to do it. Just kills me. It's like, I can't do that. Unless I go, the only reason I can forgive the inexcusable is because I've been forgiven the inexcusable in me. And here's what you realize. As God's love is coming into you and you let it go out to another in forgiveness, that love for you is something that you're experiencing new and afresh in you. So what do we do? How do we respond to God's love that he showed to us? Again, this experiencing of it. Now follow me. We said, I experience God's love through his forgiveness. Our first response as we read through the scriptures, Romans 5:8 says, God showed, he demonstrated, he proved his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we're still sinners. John 3:16, very familiar scripture, says, God so loved the world, showed his love in such a great way that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, that whoever would believe in him, that they would put their faith, that they would trust in him to be their means of forgiveness and salvation. They won't perish, but they'll have everlasting life. All of this love of God is theoretical until you receive Jesus. It's not until this first response in receiving Jesus. It's not until you open up your life and say, Jesus, I need what you did on the cross. I need what was accomplished in your resurrection in my life. Would you forgive me? Would you save me? All of a sudden, as he does that, you experience what you knew or heard about. And if you haven't, you want to move from knowledge, I know about what Jesus did on the cross and in his life, to experiencing by opening your life up to Jesus and confessing your need for that personally, that way, personally receiving and personally experiencing God's love. But then from there, that's not the end. Certainly not the end of God's love that he wants to pour into us. Colossians 2 says, so then just as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him. We're like, how do you do that? I mean, what's that look like? And that's what Jesus was talking about in John 15. He said, you got to stay connected to me. You got to stay connected to my love. You got to remain in me. He said, as the Father has loved me, I love you. Remain in my love. Stay connected to my love, because in doing it, you're staying connected to God's love, and that's flowing through me. He says, if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And here's why he said it. I've told you all of this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. When you are connected again to God's love, experiencing it, and you then are able to love God, the joy that that brings into our life takes us beyond whatever circumstances that we may be facing. Now, here's what I hope that everyone will be saying at the end of this week. I hope at the end of this week, you'll be able to say this, that I love God more now than I ever have. As I have, again, focused on the touches of his love, but I focus on his forgiveness, I've just brought myself back into that experience. I love God more now than I ever have. But not more than I ever will. And I'm not talking about heaven now, though heaven is true for this. I'm talking about as I continue to stay focused on God's love for my life and experience God's love in the many ways, and that list of ways continues to grow. However much you love God, you have not tapped it out. You are not loving him as much as someday you will if you continue experiencing, responding to him. That's why Jesus said this, that one thing, stay focused on it. That one thing, do this. Love God. Now I'd like to lead us into kind of a prayer time together. For those that haven't received Jesus, I want to start out by just inviting you just to receive Jesus as your Savior. But I want to take us then beyond that into experiencing and responding to God's love today. So would you join me in this prayer time, please? As we start out, Lord Jesus, for those that are here, believing that you died on the cross for them, believing that you've done everything necessary for their forgiveness, to restore their relationship that's been broken with the Father, as best they know how, as they put their trust in you and receive you, I pray you'll do the work in their life that only you can do. Can I ask, how many today are going, Guy, best of my knowledge, I'm receiving Jesus and asking him to be my Savior. First time, and I'm as sincere as I can be about this. Would you just lift the hand? Yeah. Sweet. Cool. Wonderful. Now, Lord, as we continue, I pray that you'd help us in a very fresh way just to listen to you, to experience you. Would you please, right now, thank God for something? Doesn't matter what it is, but whatever you would like to thank God for, whether it's running water, whatever, just take a moment and thank God for this touch of love that he has in your life. And help us to realize that this is a blessing and a gift from you, Father. Your way of saying, I love you. Thank you. Now let's take this moment and thank God for the amount of forgiveness that he has brought to us. Big, small, whatever it is for you, would you just thank God for the forgiveness that he's brought to you? That's amazing grace, Father. Wow. And lastly, is there someone that you need to forgive? Would you do that now and let God's love flow through you? You do your part. May we continue to grow in your love, Father. We pray in your name, through your Son, Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, Amen.